We're in the middle of a sermon series in the season of Advent where we're looking at this whole idea of God's larger story and being swept up into it. And the title of the sermon series is For Unto Us a Child Is Born. Last week, Davin helped us look at a teenager's trust and when the angel appeared to Mary. Today, we're going to be looking at a carpenter's courage. Next Sunday, it will be a scholar's hope. The fourth Sunday of Advent, we're considering a shepherd's surprise. And then on Christmas Eve, we'll be looking at a baby's birth. And the Sunday after Christmas, we'll be looking at a Savior's love. But today we're looking at the carpenter's courage. As we consider this passage and consider the story of Joseph, would you join me in prayer? Dear Father in heaven, as we consider this text today, as we enter into this large story that Joseph was invited to become a part of, we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us by the power of your Spirit. And we acknowledge that we are in darkness apart from the light of Christ, that we can't see and discern spiritual truth by ourselves, and that we need your help. And so we pray for illumination here this morning. May the words of my mouth and meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, back in the day, when I was in school, we were using blue books for exams, and I understand that they're still used in many schools today. And students all over the Winston-Salem and around the country are preparing for taking final exams. There was once a student in a philosophy class in college, and when it came time for the exam, the professor asked the class one question, just one, and the question was, "What is courage?" Well, all the students opened up their blue books and began to write feverishly with trying to draw upon everything that they had learned over the course of the semester. All the students except one. He took out his blue book and opened it up, wrote his name at the top of the page, and then he wrote just two words. "This is." He closed up his blue book. He walked to the front of the class, turned in his exam, and walked out of the room. Now, that's courage, or maybe it's foolishness, hoping that the professor would think he was clever and give him a passing grade. In 1956, President John F. Kennedy, or before he became president, John Kennedy wrote a book entitled Profiles in Courage. And it was a story of, a short volume of biographies of eight particular senators who had demonstrated great bravery and integrity over the course of their service in American history. Some of these individuals date back to the early 1800s. Others were in the early 20th century. And each of them defied the opinions of their political parties and their constituents to do what they felt was right. And as a result of their actions, they suffered severe criticism and losses in popularity. And Kennedy suggested that these people demonstrated great courage in the face of criticism and opposition. Well, if there was a biblical version of Profiles in Courage, then Joseph, the carpenter from Nazareth, who was engaged to Mary and is one of the central characters in the Christmas story, would surely be included in it. And as we make our journey through this season of Advent, I want you to consider a carpenter's courage. The first thing I want to talk about has to do with a fiancé's crisis. The text we're studying today is part of what is called the Annunciation. It's a story of the way in which God announced to Mary and to Joseph how he was going to involve them in the story of salvation and the birth of the Messiah. And it tells also how God revealed to them the plan of the miracle of the virgin birth. Now, in the Gospel of Luke, the focus is on Mary. But in the book of Matthew, it's told from Joseph's perspective. Now, notice what this passage says about the way in which Jewish marriages took place in the ancient world. You see, marriage in Jewish communities in the first century began with a betrothal, and it was an engagement that involved such a strong commitment that it actually took a divorce to undo it. Mary and Joseph were in a formal binding engagement as a part of an arranged marriage. And they couldn't just call off the wedding and return the presents if they had a change of heart. To break an engagement required a formal legal action. Notice also the problem that takes place in the middle of this impending marriage. An awkward moment occurs when Mary was found to be pregnant before the wedding and before she and Joseph had ever been intimate with each other. We who know the Christmas story know that Mary's pregnancy was by the Holy Spirit, but as it doesn't take a whole lot of imagination to realize just how this must have sounded to Joseph when he first heard it. The pregnancy of a fiancé with whom you have never slept is a real crisis. And Joseph's natural response would have been, "Who's the father?" When Mary told him that it was God, it only added insult to injury. His next response was that he wanted out of the engagement, and who could blame him? This meant that he was diligent and observing, and because he was a righteous person. He was very diligent in observing the Old Testament law. He tried to live an intentional life of integrity and purity. And the Torah was clear about what to do with someone in Mary's situation. The idea of a fiancé getting pregnant before they were married was scandalous, and it would open them both up to ridicule. And so he decided to break off the engagement and to get out of the marriage because he was a righteous man. However, Joseph, we're told, was also a compassionate person. And so he did not want to publicly humiliate Mary, and he decided that he was going to divorce her quietly. It took the intervention of God to dissuade Joseph from what he was planning to do. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. He assured Joseph that Mary was telling him the truth concerning her pregnancy. And the messenger urged Joseph to take up the challenge of a very different life than the one that he was planning for himself. God wanted Joseph to go through with the marriage, to refrain from sexual relations with his wife until after the baby was born, and to raise a child that was not his own. Think about the courage that was required for Joseph to do what God asked him to do. And that's the second thing I want to talk about today, a carpenter's courage. C.S. Lewis once wrote, "Courage is not simply one of the virtues, but the form of every virtue at the testing point, which means at the point of highest reality. A chastity or honesty or mercy, which yields to danger, will be chaste or honest or merciful only on conditions. Pilate was merciful until it became risky." But here we see in the life of Joseph an example of courage in the face of great difficulty and regardless of the conditions. There are three truths about courage I want for you to notice today from the life of Joseph this morning. The first is that, notice that courage is revealed in the middle of difficult decisions. Because we live on this side of Christmas, we may want to rush to the end of the story where everything turns out okay. But if we do that, then we miss out on the anxiety that Mary's announcement of her pregnancy created for Joseph and the struggle that he had in trying to figure out what he was supposed to do. You might even think that Joseph was spiritually slow and that he should have figured out what was going on a whole lot sooner. But if you do that, then you miss the whole point of what Joseph is learning about courage. This story of Jesus is just getting started. There will be visits by shepherds and wise men. There will be anger by Herod. There will be a flight to Egypt. There will be hiding out in Nazareth. Joseph is going to have to trust God every step of the way in his path, even though he can't see very far into the future. And it would be a very different kind of journey of faith that God was inviting him to take. Would you, would I have that kind of faith? Would we have the kind of courage? When we're in difficult circumstances, when we have to make very tough decisions, it requires courage. Many times we don't have all the data. We can't see clearly into the future. Are we able to put ourselves in the hands of God and have the courage to follow where He leads, regardless of how hard it may be, regardless of what other people may think? What difficult decision are you facing today? How is God asking you to trust Him with your future? Where is the Lord asking you to have courage? Well, the second thing I want us to notice about this is that courage seeks to do what God says, even when it's hard. Joseph knew from the beginning that being involved with the story of Jesus was going to be difficult, and it would also affect his reputation. It would open him up to scandal and to whispers behind his back. There was no way that in a small town like Nazareth that people were ever going to believe his account of what happened. And as a result, he wouldn't be invited to their homes. It would probably affect his business. And he would surely never be admired or respected in the synagogue as a lover of the Torah. If he committed himself to this baby, he would do so at enormous personal sacrifice. His whole reputation would be trashed. Friends, bearing Jesus to the world always involves a certain amount of risk to possible embarrassment. Since the time of Jesus, millions of people have been willing to make sacrifices for the sake of this one called Jesus. Many people have given up their status, their reputation, their possessions, even their lives if necessary, all for the sake of Him. You know, when Joseph looked into the eyes of the people of his village, they never looked at him the same again. They never had the same kind of respect that they once had for Joseph as a righteous person. However, when he looked into the eyes of that little baby, Jesus, he knew he had done the right thing. What difficult circumstance are you in right now? How is God calling you to have courage in your situation? What adversity has come into your life that God wants you to trust Him with your future and be willing to sacrifice perhaps even your reputation, if necessary, in order to do God's will? You know, none of us likes to lose. I sure don't. It's never easy to come out on the losing side of things. You don't get the promotion. Maybe you don't even get the job. You don't close the deal. You get cut from the team. You're not invited to the dance. I think it's in those difficult circumstances in life that our courage can shine the brightest. This week I read about the experience of one man's courage in the face of defeat, and it inspired me. In 1992, George Herbert Walker Bush lost the election for president to Bill Clinton. It was a crushing defeat, and it meant that he would only serve one term as president and not be able to complete the ambitious agenda that he had set for his presidency. The night after he lost the election, George couldn't sleep. And at 3:00 in the morning, he got up and he wrote these words in his journal. "I ache. And now I must think, how do you keep your chin up, keep your head up through a couple of difficult days ahead? I think of our country and the people on my team that are hurting, and there is so much we didn't do. And yes, progress that we made, but no, the job is not finished. And that kills me. Be strong. Be kind. Be generous of spirit. Be understanding. Let people know how grateful you are. Don't get even. Comfort the ones I've hurt and let down. Say our prayers and ask for God's understanding and strength. Finish with a smile and with some gusto. Do what's right and finish strong. Friends, it takes courage to respond to defeat like that. How is God calling you to trust Him, to do what's right, and to finish strong in the difficult circumstance that you're in right now? The third thing that I think we can learn from the example of Joseph is that courage is willing to remain in the background and let others take center stage. When you study the life of Joseph, you learn that his life wasn't about him. Joseph was getting into something much larger than himself. It happens every time someone is courageous enough to follow God and to go wherever He leads them. Their stories become larger than they are. They realize that they are here on this earth for a greater purpose than simply pursuing their own personal peace, comfort, and affluence. Your story is part of a much bigger story than you can ever imagine. After the incident in the temple with Jesus and his parents when Jesus was 12 years old, we never read about Joseph again in the pages of Scripture. At one point, while Jesus is itinerating around the Sea of Galilee, his family come calling for him, but only his mother and his brothers are mentioned. Joseph's nowhere to be found. Scholars speculate that Joseph died somewhere between the time when Jesus was 12 and when he began his public ministry at the age of around 30. Mary seems to be the one who gets remembered the most during the Christmas story. And later on in church history, Mary also appears to be the one who is most honored, especially among Roman Catholics. But both Mary and Joseph are central to the story of the incarnation of Christ. And if it wasn't for Joseph following through with his marriage to Mary and raising Jesus as his son and teaching Jesus as a trade as a carpenter, what do you think would have become of Jesus and his mother in the ancient world? Since she was a single mother with no means of earning a living in the first century, they would have become destitute. Joseph did a very noble and courageous thing. And his selfless act and his willingness to remain in the background demonstrated a life of humility that you and I would do well to follow and emulate today. How is God asking you to remain in the background? How is He calling you to let others get the credit and to not be the center of attention? It takes courage to do that. The third and final thing I want to talk about this morning has to do with the legacy of Joseph's courage. Have you ever wondered why in the world God decided to involve Joseph in his plan of salvation and ask him to take Mary as his wife and to raise Jesus as his own son? It's a crazy idea. Maybe God decided that Jesus, who would be called the friend of sinners, should be raised by a family that knew firsthand what it feels like to be regarded as spiritually suspect and as an illegitimate son. Maybe part of the reason that Jesus had a heart for people who were considered unrespectable is that he was raised by a father who was willing to sacrifice his respectability for the sake of his wife and his son. Maybe one of the reasons that Jesus had compassion on women who experienced scandal in their lives is that he knew what it meant to his mother and his father that they stuck together when she was a single, when she was pregnant, and when all the religious people would have urged him, divorce her. Joseph stood by her. I think of how Jesus, as he was growing up, must have admired and appreciated his dad's courage. Later on, when Joseph was long dead, and Jesus was a grown man, he said to his disciples, "Unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." Jesus might have been thinking to himself, "I've seen that kind of better righteousness firsthand. My earthly father was such a man." Maybe God had a reason for this odd and painful way to start a family. Maybe God still calls people to be willing to die to reputation and status and comfort for the sake of love. That's why we seek to extend God's kingdom that was launched by this little baby. When Joseph made the decision to wed Mary, he thought it was the end of his being considered a righteous man. However, he believed that what the angel told him was true, that this baby would bring salvation to the world. And he did. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. The kind of courage that Joseph had back then continues to show up in ordinary people today. There are countless stories of followers of Christ being brave in the darkest of times. Stories right here in this congregation. Friend, will you be one of those people and write your own story of courage in the coming week? In 2018, Senator John McCain passed away. You recall that he was a pilot during the Vietnam War, and after his plane was shot down, he became a prisoner of war in a concentration camp in North Vietnam. And there he was tortured brutally and was kept in solitary confinement much of the time. When he was released, John came back to the U.S., and he went on to become a senator and a great statesman in our country. He lived a life of courage. Toward the end of his life, John McCain said this, "Courage is like a muscle. The more we exercise it, the stronger it gets. I sometimes worry that our collective courage in America is growing weaker from disuse. We don't demand it from our leaders, and our leaders don't demand it from us. And the courage deficit is both our problem and our fault." I think we can all agree that we are living in a time when we lack courage. We see plenty of bravado. We see a whole lot of "look at me" around us. When it comes to actual strength, inner courage, and fortitude, it is terribly lacking, and we are really missing it. We've chosen comfort over courage. We've chosen safety over sacrifice. But Joseph gives us an alternative picture of what a life of courage really does look like. He lived a life of courage in response to the call of God, even when it was hard, especially when it was hard. And you and I are talking about him today as one of the heroes of the Christmas story and of our faith as followers of Christ. Let's follow the example of Joseph and his courage, which he demonstrated that first Christmas so long ago. Would you pray with me? Dear Father in heaven, we're grateful for this amazing story. Who could have dreamed this up? It's just remarkable. If we try to put ourselves in the situation of Mary and Joseph, and think about how they responded, it is absolutely amazing. But it demonstrates what can happen in a person's life if they walk so closely with God that they hear his voice feel his nudges, and respond in faith and obedience. Their lives on earth were not easy. It involved a great deal of sacrifice and pain. Oh, but what a privilege to hold in their arms the salvation of the world and to realize that you chose them to be a part of your larger story. Oh God, you invite each one of us to join in that big story too. But it's up to us, just like it was up to Joseph and up to Mary. Will we say yes to Jesus with our whole lives? Be with us in the coming week, Lord, and help us to look for opportunities to be courageous people. And we'll thank you for that. In the name of Christ. And all God's people said, Amen.